Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Before we start, please everyone move in, because presumably there are going to be more and more devotees coming, so we don't have to disturb in the middle of class. Please squeeze up now. Also, everyone please put off your cell phone. And if you'd like to take photos of myself, please don't do so during the class. I'll sit afterward and you can take photos then. And this is being video recorded, so you can get it on YouTube, so you don't have to make a separate recording. Okay, hope you remember all of that. Thank you very much. So, text 2 of chapter 4. I'm just going to read the verse and the translation and the purport to go on, because it's midweek and I have many things to say, and you all have to get back to where you came from, as do I. So, evam parampara praptam imang rajashayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashtaf parantapa. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science as it is appears to be lost. Purport. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motives of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to re-establish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as it is received by the parampara, disciplic succession system, an attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity. But if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculations, it is simply a waste of time. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo viduhu sakale neha mahata yogo nashtaf parantapa. This evening I plan to speak on the principle of continuity. And I'll take this opportunity in beginning the talk to congratulate all of you in continuing the activities here at this temple for so many years, just to keep something going on for Krishna's pleasure is a great achievement in itself. So congratulations to all of you for that. Srila Prabhupada, he also said regarding ISKCON, about ISKCON after he left this world, he said that if you can't expand, at least maintain what I have given. So to maintain is an activity of sattva-guna, and to maintain spiritually is completely pure, but we see that Vishnu himself oversees sattva-guna. So continuity, especially of something that is good, is laudable in itself. And it's what Krishna is speaking about here. Continuity and breaking the continuity. If something's good, you want it to continue. In this material world, nothing continues. That's the very nature of this material world. And especially in this Kali Yuga, if there is anything good, it becomes more difficult to continue it. If there's something bad, it's easier to continue. It's the influence of the age. Now, those of you who are utilizing your human form of life in the best possible way, which presumably is all of you here, one of the main things you should be doing is regularly hearing Srila Prabhupada's discussions and reading his books, but more in his discussions than in his books, as far as I can see from studying them both for many years, is that again and again and again Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, you'll find there are many, many topics which Srila Prabhupada emphasizes again and again and again. So one of them that Srila Prabhupada he emphasized is that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, which is given by Vyasadeva, what Madhva, Ramanuja, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, all the acharyas, they say the same thing. It's not anything different. And you can see the commentaries of previous acharyas. It's the same message. And that Srila Prabhupada based his authenticity on, in other words, okay, I'm coming to instruct you and tell you something. What is my qualification to tell you? Because we have heard perfect knowledge from the perfect source. And it's the same message that's been handed down for thousands and even millions of years. That Srila Prabhupada claimed as his source of authenticity. It's the same truth, it doesn't change. That which is true stays. Na sato vidyate bhavo, na bhavo vidyate sataha. That which is sat, that which is real, that which is true, it's always true. And that which is untrue, it won't last. I just said that in the Kali Yuga especially, in the Kali Yuga especially, good things tend to decline. In one sense, but that which is actually true, it doesn't become untrue. Just like in Kali Yuga, if people don't accept, or in any yoga, if people don't accept that Krishna is not supreme, it doesn't change the fact that Krishna is supreme. But how it is widely perceived in the world, that may become very little. And here in India also, in this Kali Yuga, for a long time, the pure teachings of Vyasadeva, of Krishna, they were, from the social perspective, eclipsed by Buddhism, Karma Mimamsa philosophy, then Shankara's philosophy. It's not that Krishna ceased to be supreme, but it's analogous to the sun being covered by clouds. The sun is shining with full power, but we say there's no sun today. At least in English you may say that, and in England especially, they say it a lot, because England is famously often covered by this cloud cover. So, but that's only from our perspective. If we say there's no sun, it doesn't mean literally that there's no sun, but that we don't see the sun. The sun remains fixed in being the sun, fully powerful, but from our tiny perspective, the sun is covered. So the truth is always the truth. The truth is that the truth is Krishna. Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Arjuna addresses Krishna. You are the supreme reality, supreme spiritual truth, the supreme abode. You are the supreme pure. Now, Krishna is always the same. But how the message is propagated in this world, that may change. And there are so many ideas about Krishna, especially in India. It's in one sense, when a person who's known by the name of Ramakrishna said, Jato Mot Toto Pot, all paths lead to the same goal. Well, it doesn't actually mean that. It means as many opinions, that many paths. And in one sense, it's true, because everyone has their own opinions. But the misunderstanding is that all paths lead to the same place. They don't. There's so many opinions about Krishna. If we say, theoretically, that there are 1 million opinions about Krishna, if it's true today, it won't be true tomorrow. There'll be 1,000,001. The people are always coming up with different ideas. But the truth about Krishna is given by Vyasadeva and is handed down by the acharyas in parampara. And they all say the same thing, because the truth stays the same. 1 + 1 = 2. It's a truth. It's not the supreme absolute truth, but it is a fact. 1 + 1 = 2. And if we go back 20 zillion years in time, if we go to the farthest limits of the universe, it will remain true, at least as far as I know. There may be some kind of transcendental or mystical mathematics, but as far as my tiny brain can understand, we can all accept that. 1 + 1 = 2. It's an axiomatic truth, if we accept numbers, which is another philosophical question, which we need not get into here. Anyway, it's just being used as an example. So Krishna is the supreme absolute reality. We are all his eternal servants. We are in this material world due to forgetfulness of Krishna. We have to practice the process of Krishna consciousness to revive our original consciousness and go back to Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, you may say, well, different acharyas, they do differ. That's a fact. There may be different teachings of different acharyas, but not on the basic points. They may be from different perspectives. They see the same truth in a somewhat different way. But it's not like the blind men catching the elephant, and they all have a completely different and incomplete idea. Now, all the acharyas, Madhva, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they all teach the same truth, which is that Vishnu Sarvottama, Vishnu is the Supreme. We are all servants. We are all eternally connected with Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he emphasized this very much, that what he speaks should be listened to. is because he speaks the truth that we all need to hear more than anything else, more than any other information in the world that everyone needs to know. And there's lots of information out there on the internet. You can have access to not all information, but a lot, more than our brains can accommodate. But the most important thing we need to know is that we are all eternal servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Krishna by the process of devotional service, of hearing and chanting and so on about Krishna. So this is the teachings of all shastras, especially those. We may say, well, some shastras teach other things, but superficially so. But Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adav Ante Cha Madhye Cha Hari Sarvatra Gyate. This is stated by Vyasadeva almost at the end of Mahabharata. In Mahabharata it's also stated the oneness of Hari and Hara, of Vishnu and Shiva. But at the end, it's Vyasadeva states that the message of all these shastras is glorification of Lord Hari. And all the acharyas, those who have ascertained or have svata siddha jnana, they have automatically they're in touch with the Absolute Truth. They don't have to try to find it out. They all agree on the same point. So guru, sadhu, shastra, all those who persons who are in a bona fide parampara, they all accept the same points. I had some experience when shortly after I published a book, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhava, and when it was first published, many devotees were reading it, and some of the feedback I got from that was that devotees were, by reading the teachings of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they became very happy to know, to understand, to clearly how our own Srila Prabhupada, he follows exactly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, they knew that, but by reading that book, they could understand in more detail how he exactly follows what his guru taught. Now, there may be a difference in the linguistic presentation, definitely. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's language is very difficult, and Srila Prabhupada's language was amazingly simple. One of the great gifts of Srila Prabhupada is that he was able to convey these very deep truths of Shastra, which may be very difficult even for many great saintly people to penetrate these truths. He was able to present them in simple English. English is a language that the whole culture which goes with English language is far removed from the Vedic culture and the Vedic language, which is traditionally used for explaining all these things. So Srila Prabhupada, his English was very simple, but conveyed the same truths that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did in very erudite and arcane, mostly Bengali, and also if you see his books in English, you can get some idea of how erudite, arcane, or whatever words you want to use, his language was. But it's the same message. There's no change. And another sign of the authenticity of Srila Prabhupada, why do we emphasize Srila Prabhupada so much? Well, there may be many reasons for that, but one reason was that he was consistent in his presentation. I just mentioned about hearing Srila Prabhupada's lectures and his conversations, those who were recorded. There are many that weren't recorded. There were many that were recorded and the recordings were lost, great loss to the world. Some of the recordings, they were taped over afterwards. Now we think, what a great loss. But at the time, somehow, devotees weren't thinking of that. But anyway, still, there's a huge amount of recordings, and devotees have worked very hard to transcribe them. And it's a great treasure house, a great resource that we have so much of Srila Prabhupada's teachings in his conversations and his lectures available. But Srila Prabhupada said, everything is in my books, actually. Even if we don't go to the lectures and conversations, everything that we need to know to become fully Krishna conscious is there in Srila Prabhupada's books. But the recordings are there in Srila Prabhupada. Even before he had any followers, started recording his own speaking. The first recordings, Srila Prabhupada, he had very little money when he was first in America, but it was a very big investment for him to purchase a tape recorder, and the first recordings he made were of what is now the introduction. He spoke what is now the introduction to Bhagavad Gita as it is. Who did he speak that to? To the tape recorder. There was no one else present. He had the foresight to record. So those recordings are there, and we can read Srila Prabhupada's writings from the 1940s onwards, and his recordings from 1966 through to 1977 in different venues and audiences he's spoken. Sometimes he was speaking to the walls, to the microphone. Sometimes he was speaking to huge crowds in India, Pandal programs, and sometimes big crowds in America or in Europe also. Sometimes he spoke to a small group of maybe 15 or 20 devotees. That was quite common also, especially in the earlier days. And then conversations he would have with one or two devotees, maybe six or seven at the most, many of his conversations. But one thing we're struck by, whoever he was speaking to, in whatever venue, from 1944 to 1977, same message. Consistent. Now his earlier recordings, you could say the presentation is somewhat more simple. And later, if we hear his lectures, he's speaking to disciples who are already conversant with the basic teachings he's giving, the very basic instructions of Bhagavad Gita. But so it is, you could say, philosophically, it's somewhat more deep, you could say. Or he doesn't, let's put it this way, he doesn't explain the basic points in great detail, but it's understood that his disciples have already grasped them to some extent. But the point I'm making here is that sometimes he'd speak more simply, sometimes in more depth, sometimes from different perspectives, sometimes with different shift in emphasis on different points, but it was the same message consistently. It wasn't that Srila Prabhupada sometimes said something which was completely out of sync with everything else he said. No, everything was a whole philosophy, elaborate philosophical teachings, which all holds together. And the same message. He didn't change his philosophy. And that was one of the points he said. He said, for instance, about the point about the scientists, they say they're going to, or we're going to the moon or to Mars. And Prabhupada said, why should we accept that what they say? They change their opinions all the time. Whereas Krishna says the same thing, and it's accepted by all the acharyas. Why should we accept what people who they really don't know what they don't know what they're talking about, and their behavior is also, they're eating meat, drinking alcohol, illicit sex, and they have no idea of even civilized human behavior. Why should we accept what they say? We have to accept what the Shastra says, what the Acharyas say. So he didn't change his philosophy. Like, philosophy in the Western world, philosophy means you have to dream up some new idea. And in India also, na sav rishya yasya matang na bhinnam. One cannot be accepted as a rishi unless he has an opinion different to someone else. At least all the rishis, to be accepted as Vedic rishis, they have to accept the authority of the Vedas. But then they take the Vedas and mix it up in their own recipe, in their mind. But real meaning of philosophy, it's derived from the Greek philosophia, love of truth, or in Vedic terms, tattva-gyan, tattva-darshan. Doesn't say tattva-matam, an opinion, or tattva-dharana, something that I think, but tattva-gyana, tattva-darshana. So Srila Prabhupada didn't change his opinion and have, well, actually, yeah, I said all that about Krishna, but now I've come to a higher realization and the Supreme is impersonal. It's unthinkable that Srila Prabhupada could say such a thing. Why? Well, because the truth is that Krishna is the Supreme. The impersonal aspect of understanding Him is not Supreme. And said in Shastra, avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mam abuddhaya. Bhagavad Gita, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna clearly establishes that that which is perceived of as being unmanifest or impersonal, that comes from Krishna, not vice versa, as some people claim. So Srila Prabhupada didn't change his opinion. You might get some businessmen gurus whose business in becoming a guru is business. They become a guru for name, fame, glory, money. They're not interested in serving Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada wasn't like that at all. He didn't adjust his message to remain popular. In fact, he never spoke in a way to become popular, as is pointed out in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita of the best-known biography of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada's message was not designed to appeal to the prevailing mentality of the people to whom he was speaking. Mostly, somehow or other it happened, by Krishna's arrangement, mostly hippie types, young spiritual speakers, were seekers, sorry, they were speakers, they were seekers. They were coming to Srila Prabhupada, and their idea of spirituality was you feel spiritual and have lots of sex. Many of them had that idea. But Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning, spoke very clearly, no illicit sex. Many of them thought that taking hallucinogenic drugs, especially at that time LSD, dilysergic acid, something like that, it was very popular among the hippies, and they thought that this gives you spiritual experiences. Srila Prabhupada rejected that. No, you cannot understand the truth by any material means, including consciousness-altering drugs. No, Srila Prabhupada was very firm on that. He didn't give his message in a manner that would make it popular. Of course, he presented it in a manner that it could be understood, but he didn't resort to gimmicks or tricks to try to gain popularity. His aim was not popularity, but his aim was to deliver the eternal truths of Bhagavad Gita as received in disciplic succession for the benefit of whoever was fortunate enough and intelligent enough to accept it. But he wasn't going to change the message. He gave the same precious truth, the teachings of Krishna, the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, exactly as he received it from his own guru. And his own guru, what was his own guru's qualification? That he received the same knowledge from his guru. And you go back every generation, all the way up to Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada presented, in the beginning of his Bhagavad Gita as it is, he presented a list of the prominent acharyas in parampara, giving his own name, to establish that what he is presenting here in Bhagavad Gita is not his own opinion about Bhagavad Gita, but it is evam. Here we have this verse, evam parampara praptam, imam, Raja, this, imam, this, this, this knowledge. It's this knowledge which was passed down in parampara, Krishna says, in disciplic succession. So Srila Prabhupada presented the list of acharyas in the parampara to demonstrate the point that he is coming in a bona fide parampara. And he said that comment means to explain the verse. I was just hearing today, actually, Srila Prabhupada say this when someone asked him about, said, oh, so this is, showing him Bhagavad Gita, and said, oh, this is your comment. Prabhupada said, yes, but comment means to explain the verse. In other words, the person was asking, is this your comment? And Srila Prabhupada, it seems he could detect that that person thought that by your comment, it means, oh, it's your interpretation, your idea. But Prabhupada said, yes, it's my comment, but comment means to explain the verse. What's in the verse? Not what's in my head, but what's in the verse. But of course, in Srila Prabhupada's head is Bhagavad Gita as it is. So in that case, there was no difference. George Harrison, who was a very famous person in the Western world at that time and was instrumental in popularizing the Krishna Conscious Movement in the West, he appreciated this quality. He noted this quality in Srila Prabhupada. A statement of George Harrison about, I'm going to read, about what he said about Srila Prabhupada, and which Srila Prabhupada himself stated was the mark of his authenticity. So George Harrison said about Srila Prabhupada, he was always just speaking about Krishna, and it was coincidental who happened to be there. Whenever you saw him, he would always be the same. It wasn't that one time he would tell you to chant the Hare Krishna mantra, then the next time say, oh no, I made a mistake. He was always the same. The principle of continuity. Now, I'm going to speak a little bit about the Roman Catholic Church, which Srila Prabhupada, he actually said, Srila Prabhupada said that we should study the Roman Catholic Church for how they manage. Means he was impressed. And it is quite impressive that institution has been going on for 2,000 years. That's quite impressive. Worldwide institution. So a major reason for the church's continuity is its consistent claim to represent Jesus Christ. Could everyone please take out your phone and switch it off? Kindly do so. Don't think I don't have to do so. Please do so. not just claiming to represent Jesus Christ, but in a nebulous way, but in instructing others, in instructing their followers. For instance, Jesus Christ is recorded in the Bible as having been strongly against divorce. And the Roman Catholic Church, throughout 2,000 years, has upheld that. The king in England, more than 500 years ago, Henry VIII, famous king in England, he divorced the whole of England from the Catholic Church because he wanted to divorce his wife, but the church didn't change its teachings. So that's honorable. And that also gives people faith. If the church over 2,000 years says, Jesus says this, we follow this. And even though there's been so much opposition within the church, no, we have to introduce divorce. They've consistently said no. That's one example of how they say, no, we can't do it because Jesus is against it and the church represents Jesus. Therefore, we cannot allow it. And that gives faith in people who are serious to follow the church that it is actually representing Jesus. Because it says the same thing which he has recorded as saying, they uphold it. There may have been changes in the details of their liturgy and their organization, even that not much until the 1960s. It was very consistent. Then they changed it. The liturgy, that means the services from being conducted in Latin to vernacular languages. But still it was the same Mass. Their most famous service is called the Mass. So there may have been differences in the details, but they never changed how they represented what Jesus says we have to follow. They're continuing on that. So that gave a lot of faith in people. It made a solid institution and continuity. At the present time, under the present Pope, that continuity is, as is perceived by observers of the Catholic Church, both within it and outside it, that principle is under attack because the present Pope is, unlike his two recent predecessors who are very strongly against divorce, against the idea of priests being married and contraception. The previous two popes are very much against this, but the present pope is having liberal statements that, yeah, we can accommodate that. One of the main things in the Catholic faith is the giving communion, which means they put a wafer of bread on your tongue, which is said, that Jesus comes. It's like we have prasadam, something like that. But you're not allowed to have that if you're divorced. But now the Pope is saying, well, anyway, maybe we should give it to them also. Be merciful, something like that. So... So it's a major shift, and I'm informed many Catholics, they're joining the Orthodox Church, which the Orthodox Church is in the eastern part of Europe. It's very prominent, and it's also there in the United States of America, because so many Greeks emigrated there. They have the Greek Orthodox Church. So the Catholic Church, Catholic means universal, and Orthodox means they stick to the same things. But So because they actually are Orthodox, they are not changing their teachings. Actually, they've allowed married priests practically from the beginning. So many Catholics are converting to Orthodox because they don't like that nowadays to be a Catholic means you're opening up to all the immorality that the Catholic Church stood against. Because if you allow divorces, it allows what we would call illicit sex. It encourages illicit sex and unmarried mothers and all this kind of thing. So I'm just giving this example of the Catholic Church, because it's if you study world religions, and like I say, Srila Prabhupada, he did say, at least to his leaders, you should study the Catholic Church. We can see that in the case of the Catholic Church, that once you don't accept the direct and clear instructions of Christ as they're given in the Bible, and that you interpret, you say, well, there's the higher principle. The higher principle is the mercy of Jesus, and therefore we'll extend his mercy to all kinds of people, understanding that what Jesus said is not what he really meant. In other words, it's a personal interpretation. Not only that, but it's different from what the church has said all these 2,000 years. So once you undermine the teachings of the Bible by interpreting it in your own way or in a different way, or you leave it open to personal interpretation, that's another thing that Pope Francis is doing. He's saying, well, if you want to follow one way, you can do it, and if you want to follow another way, you can also do it. That means then, where does the church come? What is the church instructing? Then it's just open to personal interpretation. And why should you join the church for guidance if they say, jato mot tato pot? If you like it this way, take it this way. If you don't like it that way, take it another way. The solid basis of faith and adherence to the words of Lord Jesus Christ is undermined by not adhering to the principle that what he said, we have to follow. We follow it in the same way that it's been followed for 2,000 years, and if the modern people, they don't like it, we can't adjust. And if you say we can adjust, then the church no longer has any basis for claiming to represent Lord Jesus Christ in this world. So I've given this example, and now I'll say that my fear is that what the Roman Catholic Church has done after 2,000 years, we in ISKCON are also doing. If we don't take what Srila Prabhupada gave, which is what Krishna gave, what all the acharyas gave, if we try to accommodate that to the modern liberal ethos, or modern ideas of what is right or wrong, or any ideas of what is right or wrong, which are not in accord with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then the whole basis of our authenticity, the whole basis of our spiritual strength, which comes from following Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, understanding that it is the highest truth, but if we don't accept it as it is, we all know these words, as it is, Srila Prabhupada's claim to authenticity, then we lose our strength. We no longer can say, we can no longer say that, you see, this is what Krishna says, this is what all the acharyas say, we're saying the same thing, this is our principle on which we stand. We can no longer say that. You may be aware that in Tamil Nadu, recently there's been some fighting between Varagalai and Tengalai branches of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. Those of you who are of Sri Vaishnava background, you have some idea of Tengalai, Varagalai, what they are. They're fighting. Some of them have been fighting, which is very sad news in many ways. But in other ways, it's good. They're fighting. It means they have some disagreement, serious, deep disagreements going back centuries over the teachings of Ramanuja. That means they still care enough about it to fight over it. That's good. If in ISKCON we say, well, someone says this, and say, it doesn't matter, just whatever way you like, it's all okay, just, you know, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And you know, all those volumes of books that Prabhupada gave us, anyway, you know, just any way you like, you can, if you feel like this, you can take it like this, and if you feel it like that, then you can take. And then what's the value of all those teachings? If we don't accept that Srila Prabhupada has given us the clear, absolute truth, which we have to understand and follow. If we think that Prabhupada's teaching is just something that anyone can interpret in their own way, and you can say anything and do anything as long as you say Hare Krishna now and then, it's okay. That means we're not sticking to the same principle that he gave. We're not committed, as the Tengalaya and Vadigalaya, to a system of understanding, because there's some branch in their acharya's lines, how they interpreted different things. So we may say, well, it's too difficult for us to understand what's right, because someone says this and someone else says that, and how can you understand? So better just respect everyone and see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil, and pretend that everything's okay. Well, there is a test, and Srila Prabhupada gave us a system to test, to understand what is right. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and specifically, fruits from different parts of a tree might look a little different, but if they're really the fruit from the same tree, they taste the same, have the same basic taste. And in this regard, I think that's what's over the page next, yeah. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter in 1969, which I'll read now. Please listen carefully, because often when we read from Prabhupada's letters or books, instead of speaking, it somehow or other devotees lose their attention. And they think, I don't know what they think. We already know all this. I don't know. But anyway, please listen carefully. Srila Prabhupada wrote, regarding your question about the disciplic succession coming down from Arjuna, it is just like I have got my disciples. So in the future, these many disciples may have many branches of disciplic succession. Go and tell that to the people on the hill. So in one line of disciples, we may not see another name coming from a different line. Just like we have our parampara, it's not the same as the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya paramparas, right? So it's a different line. But this does not mean that person whose name does not appear was not in the disciplic succession. Narada was the spiritual master of Vyasadeva, and Arjuna was Vyasadeva's disciple, not as an initiated disciple, but there was some blood relation between them. So there is a connection in this way, and it is not possible to list all such relationships in the short description given in Bhagavad Gita as it is. In other words, there's a list of the prominent acharyas, but there have been so many acharyas and so many disciples, and if you want to put all the names, first of all, if you could find them all, it would take up more than the whole Bhagavad Gita. So the names of the prominent acharyas are given. So Srila Prabhupada continues. Another point is that this disciplic succession does not mean necessarily, I'm inserting the word here necessarily, another point is that disciplic succession does not mean that one has to be directly a disciple of a particular person. The conclusions which we have tried to explain in our Bhagavad Gita as it is the same as those conclusions of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we also accept the same truth under the disciplic succession of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Things equal to the same thing are equal to one another. This is an axiomatic truth. So there is no difference of opinion of understanding Krishna between ourselves and Arjuna. Another example is that a tree has many branches, and you will find one leaf here and another leaf there. But if you take this leaf and the other leaf and you press them both, you will find, you will see that the taste is the same. Right? If you take a neem leaf, you take from one part of a tree or another part of the tree, it tastes the same. The taste is the conclusion, and from the taste you can understand that both leaves are from the same tree. So that's simple. Now, can you put side by side? This is a question, it's what's called a thought experiment. Now you just imagine, there are many things which are put out on various ISKCON websites by leaders of ISKCON. Can you put all of those statements next to the statements of Srila Prabhupada and say without ambiguity that it's the same taste exactly? If yes, very good. If not, we have a big problem. Sakale neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. If it's not the same thing, then it's not the same parampara. You may say, well, yeah, he's initiated, you see, initiated by Prabhupada, so he's in the same parampara. That doesn't put you in the same parampara. What sustains the parampara is the continuity, because the same teachings are given without fail. They may be a little different in presentation, but every acharya speaks that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to surrender to Him. You may say, well, not many people like to hear that. That's true. But if you say something else, then you're not in the parampara. It's not a popularity game. It's a matter of speaking the truth as it is given by Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Here's another quotation from Srila Prabhupada. It's the kind of thing that he said many times. This is from a lecture in 1976. Srila Prabhupada said, preaching means to propagate or to vibrate what Krishna has said. So this is the position of the preacher, that you simply repeat like a parrot, no qualification. You simply, whatever is said in the Bhagavad Gita, you repeat. And the others simply hear, Shravanam, Kirtanam. Then both of them become liberated. There is no question of that to become a qualified person. That is the only qualification, that a preacher should preach only what Krishna has said. That's all. No manufacturing, no concoctions. If there is substance, they will hear. If there is no substance, who will hear? If there is no substance, who will hear? Many will hear. Because people like to be cheated. So if we present something different to what Krishna says, we may get many followers. You may think, oh, it's too difficult. People don't like to hear what Krishna says. But we see that Srila Prabhupada came to America, no one knew anything about Krishna. They didn't even know about, very few people at that time knew about even the principle of reincarnation. What to speak of accepting Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada had faith that if we simply repeat the message of Krishna, people will hear, they will be benefited. And that was borne out by what happened after that. So, the principle of continuity. How does a parampara break down? It means at some point someone starts doing things or saying things which are not of the same taste. It's significantly different enough that it doesn't represent Krishna. Doesn't present Krishna and Krishna's teachings clearly. So, if one deviates from the parampara by not speaking the message of Bhagavad Gita as it is clearly for everyone to understand. And he sees it to be part of the parampara, and then the persons he initiates, they also cease to be part of the parampara. That's why we have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he fought against the upper sampradayas in Bengal. Means people who claim themselves to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that also present, we have our gurus and paramparas, but they're deviated because they don't present Krishna consciousness exactly in the line of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Anoga Virudha Apasiddhanta Dvanta Hari. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is praised as he who removes the darkness of all philosophical conclusions which are opposed to those of Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami broadcast the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya, we pray to him, Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam. All followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they identify themselves as followers of Rupa Goswami. And if anyone claims to be a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu but does not follow both the philosophical teachings of Rupa Goswami, which are actually elaborately enunciated by Srila Jiva Goswami, and the methodology or the practices of Krishna consciousness, which Rupa Goswami gave while describing sadhana bhakti in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then he's deviated from the parampara. Now again, we may say, well, it's so difficult to get people to hear, so let's just speak something which is kind of spiritual, but don't present Krishna so much, because people might not like to hear. So we can gather many people, and then gradually we'll preach to them. You've heard of this kind of thing, right? You just don't be too straightforward, and just talk about self-realization, self-awareness, and all these things, and then don't present yourself as a member of the Hare Krishna movement, and just pretend you're some kind of sadhu, like so many other some kinds of sadhus who are floating around in this brahmanda, in this samsara. But if we don't present that I am a member of a tradition, I have my antecedents, I am a disciple of this guru, I'm a member of this parampara, this sampradaya. If we don't present that, then it presents as if it's just like all these bogus gurus, that, well, this is what I'm teaching. And you'll find so many bogus gurus in the world, but they don't say, well, this is my guru and this is his guru. It's just as if they themselves have some realization, which is bogus. If we don't identify ourselves with the tradition, we present as if we ourselves are the source of all this so-called knowledge that we're presenting. And if we don't identify ourselves with the tradition, then we're no longer bound to adhere to it and faithfully represent it. Then we can say any damn thing we like, because we don't say, well, I'm saying this because Rupa Goswami said this, and Krishna said this. We don't have to. That's no longer the measure. It's just, well, I said it. That's it. We're no longer bound to represent the tradition. If we say, I am in this tradition, I am in this parampara, I am in this sampradaya, then someone will say, well, is that the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Did he say? Yes, here's the reference. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said this. You find Chaitanya Charitamrita. So one presents oneself as an authority unto oneself, that you're just spiritual without rigid acharyopasanam. And then you give the idea to others that you can be just spiritual. But where's the connection? Spiritual means to be connected to Krishna. How do we connect to Krishna in this world? Through the Vaishnav parampara. If we don't link ourselves with that, or if we present ourselves as not linked with that, or people don't even mention it at all in our so-called preaching, or maybe give some lip service at best, then the whole principle of spiritual life is of actual spiritual life is undermined. Yasya deve para bhaktya yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Veda means knowledge. Vedic knowledge is revealed within the heart. It's not just a matter of studying some books, but it's the revealed within the heart to someone who has firm faith in firm bhakti, devotion to the Guru and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. So we can't circumvent that or change that. Or sometimes when I'm preaching in public, I say blah, 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 anything, self-awareness, self-realization and tolerance and compassion and all these things, but no Krishna. But at home, I speak all the right things. But we don't find that in our acharyas. They always speak the same thing, whoever they're speaking to. It's the same message. They don't think that we have to speak another message, or I've got a better way of preaching, or some new way. Somehow we have to get people to like me, and then I'll preach to them later. But if you get them to like you on some shallow, mundane basis, when you give them the real thing, they won't like you. Because if you speak in the same way as these cheating gurus speak, then you'll get people who want to be cheated, not people who want to surrender to Krishna. So it's also typical of these Mayavadis, or even to call them Mayavadi is too much of a compliment, because the real Mayavadis, they actually quote Shastra, and they follow the principle of quoting Shastra, not just anything that comes in their head. You can say Neo-Mayavad. They take from Bhagavad Gita something that they like, and they present that in their own way, but they don't present Krishna. So sadhu, he must present Krishna. And to represent Krishna and Srila Prabhupada is not easy. Because Srila Prabhupada, what he taught, it was never wildly popular. It was always in opposition to the mainstream. And it always will be, because the mainstream of human society is dedicated to forgetting Krishna. And if we present the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, then many people aren't going to like it, because it threatens their sense gratification and it gives them the stark truth that they're demons. Namang, what is that? Namang dushkrino murha prapadyante naradhama maya parita jnana asurang bhavamashrita. People who don't surrender to Krishna, they're rascals. Dushkriti, sinful. They're fools, they're the lowest of mankind. They think they're very intelligent and learned, but they have no real knowledge and they're just out and out bad people. That's the message of Bhagavad Gita. If people are confronted with that, they won't like that. But what else are we going to speak? If we're going to tell them, oh, actually, you're all very wonderful. What wonderful? You're not surrendered to Krishna. Why aren't you surrendered to Krishna? If we hear Srila Prabhupada again and again, it's astonishing how strong he would be. Even with people who seem to be quite submissive to him, Prabhupada is very, very, why don't you accept Bhagavad Gita? They didn't say, I don't accept Bhagavad Gita as it is. But Srila Prabhupada is practically as the default position would presume that everyone's a demon. And he was very, very strong, actually. One thing of course, different people may see Prabhupada from different perspectives, but definitely we can say he didn't try to pose himself as a nice, in the shallow way of the nice person who's doing welfare work for others by bodily welfare work, no such thing. Posing as the friend of people while cheating them by not giving them Bhagavad Gita as it is. So, Srila Prabhupada's authenticity, which he claimed, comes from his adherence to the same message which Krishna gave, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, which Rupa Goswami gave, which all tattva-darshis, seer of the truth, gave, because it is the truth. And that is the truth. and anything which tries to cover that or divert it is not the truth. So Prabhupada was a very bold preacher of Krishna consciousness, which we have to be if we're going to actually represent Krishna consciousness and continue the parampara. In every generation, it is a challenge to continue the parampara as it is, because it's always going against the mainstream. And in every generation, there are going to be people who say, yes, we love Krishna, we love kirtan, but just cool down a bit and don't be so heavy. In every generation, there are going to be people like that. And then there's going to be, yeah, chant Hare Krishna, and yeah, whether you eat in Bengal, whether you eat fish or not, doesn't matter. And then in the Western world, whether you have illicit sex or not, don't be judgmental, and watering it down, compromising. And then the parampara is lost. The authenticity is lost. So this is the principle of continuity. We have to keep the same thing going. If it's not this, if we're not saying the same thing, teaching the same thing, practicing the same thing that Srila Prabhupada gave, then we're not in the parampara. Now, we're not perfect, and we may not follow fully, but we should not be against the principle of doing so. We should know what is right and what is wrong, and always attempt to come to the fullest standard of doing everything in the right way. Okay, I'll finish now because it's midweek and everyone has to go to work in the morning. We don't go to work. But we get up in the morning, early in the morning. Maybe one or two questions? Yeah, please. No, the truth doesn't change, but our presentation of the truth may change.
So sometimes the presentation also looks similar because there is no way to verify.
There is no way to verify whether it's the real thing or not, but the taste is the same. That may be subjective, but then you see how Srila Prabhupada spoke? He gave the teachings of Bhagavad Gita with clearly putting Krishna in the center. Let me give you an example. I came across, or someone sent to me recently, something from a website of a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. I can't remember exactly what is said, but it was a short quote. You know, they have these quotes with waterfalls in the background and all this kind of thing. It's got nothing to do with the quote, but somehow is supposed to enhance it. So I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like this, that everyone has to suffer in this world, but when we come to the level of self-awareness, then we learn to tolerate the suffering, something like that. So we can say, yeah, that's Bhagavad Gita teaching, isn't it? Matra sparsha stukantaya shita ushna sukha dukha daha agama payana nityas tantra tiksha svabhava. Tolerance. Yanghina vyatante te purushang purusharshaba. What's the next line? Samadukam sukam dhiram somritatvaya kalpate. So there are many verses in Bhagavad Gita which speak about tolerating, being the same in happiness and distress. So what's wrong with that? Sounds good, doesn't it? What's the problem? Any suggestions? When we come to the level of self-awareness. What is that self-awareness? A Mayavadi will read that and think, oh yeah, self-awareness. That means I know I'm God and everything's God and I am you and you are me and we are all together. There's no clear definition of what self-awareness is. And why we become transcendental to suffering. So it's something which everyone who considers themselves to be spiritual will agree with. The Mayavadis will completely agree with that also. There's no clear delineation between reality and illusion for the welfare of all. Have you read Srimad Bhagavatam, second verse? Srimad Bhagavatam distinguishes between reality and illusion for the welfare of all. If we present spiritual teachings without clearly delineating between reality and illusion, so that a Mayavadi will think very good and a devotee will think very good, but there's no kicking out of Mayavadi. Now you may say, well, okay, but then if you go, that's only one, and even if you see the verse Matra Sparsha Stil Kaunteya, the very verse, the Mayavadis may agree with that also. So what's the harm? The harm is that there's the rest of the Bhagavad Gita also. So if you only have that kind of quote, and there's never Krishna, and that we have to surrender to Krishna, and that we are inferior to Krishna, and there's only this kind of quote, which speaks in a vague way about self-awareness, it's hiding Krishna. That's a problem. Yeah, someone else had a question. I said I'd take two questions, one or two. So one is gone, let there be two. Yeah.
Maharaj, there is dilution in principle, and there could be different approaches in application.
Dilution in principle and different approaches in application. Could you explain what that means? Principle that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we as members of the Parampara have to present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the principle being discussed. It's not just the principle that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the principle of Parampara is to present that principle unambiguously. Right? We're not just talking about Krishna being supreme, but about presenting that unambiguously. That is the principle under discussion. You see how just by reframing it a little bit, it creates confusion. You said the principle is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's not exactly the principle I'm talking about. You see how easy it is to get confused and to cause confusion by not presenting things clearly? Then? Wait a minute, you still didn't frame what you're talking about, because it was, you said, what is it? The principle is the same, but the application is different. And is it?
So my question is,
I'm still trying to understand what the question is.
Distinguish between dilution in principle.
What do you mean by dilution in principle? The principle is that we have to present Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our duty. We may not do it immediately. We may say, first of all, actually, Srila Prabhupada often presented, we're not the body. We're different from the body. So dilution in the principle, what would you say is the dilution in that principle of teaching the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is? Can you give an example of dilution of the principle? You mean you're going to change your question? You're talking about dilution of the principle. Can you explain that, what you mean exactly? Or give an example? Now wait a minute, you already gave one principle, and explain what you mean by dilution of the principle. I mean, to me it seems very clear, if you don't present the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, then it's diluted, but what do you mean by it? We're talking about speaking now. The first thing is what's being spoken, not what we hear. How we hear, that may be interpreted differently. But the principle is how we speak, right? That's what we're talking about. You don't seem to be very clear yourself about what you're asking. No, but first of all, you're saying about diluting the principle. So can you give an example of diluting the principle of speaking Bhagavad Gita as it is, as it's been spoken in Parampara for generations? No, that's got nothing to do with it. That's not the point under discussion at all. We're talking about the message, not whether it's on a p- piece of paper or on an electronic device. That's not the topic of discussion at all. Okay, well, we almost had a second question. Didn't quite make it.
Maharaj, and the constant thing which we see is, what is ethics?
What is ethics? We're going off topic here. Okay, let's stop here. Hare Krishna, it's off topic. Ethics means dharma. Doing what Krishna says in Gita, but it's off topic, so we'll finish here. Hare Krishna. No doubt there could be much discussion, but as I say, we have to follow what we're given. And one of the things is rising early, and we're all conditioned souls here, so we don't want to rise early in the morning and go to Mangalati, right? So let's finish here now. All glories to His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.